Welcome to another episode of the By George podcast. On the agenda today is the VC recap, Green and Fool's Gold, Bonnie's on deck, the A10, is it lit or a bit? And we're going to close out with the GK end of the decade poll. We'll be back after a note from our sponsors. The Giant Killer team would like to kick off this podcast thanking our title sponsor for the 2019-2020 basketball season and beyond, the law firm of Condori, Murad, and Neeson. It is through this partnership and support that we hope to expand our reach in providing coverage for Mason Athletics at home and on the road. The KMN Law Firm can help you with many of your legal needs, whether it be helping you start your business or do you need assistance drafting a will or going through the probate process? Or even if you're having property or construction related issues, this is the law firm you want to reach out to first. With two convenient locations for Mason students and alum in Fairfax down the street from the Mason main campus and in Arlington near Mason's law school campus, the KMN Law Firm is your source for legal services. Give them a call at 703-385-2080 or visit them online at www.kmnlawfirm.com. And be sure to let them know the Giant Killer team sent.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason! One Mason point, George Mason!
Welcome to By George Podcast. It's your friend Chris here, our boy Brian. Let's do a quick recap of what we all want to hear about. VCU. Let's talk about. All right. So, A, this is the first time I've been back to Fairfax this season to see a game. So this is a little bit of a homecoming for me. I expected to see Mason fans, a win, some energy. But
no, you didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I didn't. But I still wanted to see it. Maybe. So let's start out by the pregame. We went over to Brian's Grill. We're gonna meet over there, parlay, have a drink. Hopefully, you know, rub elbows with Mason fans. I walk in the door and I see green, or no, I don't see any green. I only see black and gold, as in the entire VCU fan base is like literally taking over all of Brian's Grill. And, you know, do we have like a little small section in the back corner? Yeah, there's a few Mason fans in there. But for the most part, it was very VCU heavy over at Brian's Grill, which was a little disappointing, especially if that's supposed to be a quote unquote Mason bar.
So not typically a place that we go, you know.
No.
We usually tend to go to like Fats, or we just go to Fats. and you know, we used to do Hard Times. That place is now vacant.
Wow.
So, you know, it's interesting, you know, so we go to Brian's, you know, we got Liam and Tony, guys that kind of, you know, they're traditional. They go to Brian's all the time. So we're like, all right, we'll meet up there. They got like an all you can eat brunch. But it was packed. The whole back room was a VCU raffle. Like, legitimately, people were raffling off VCU prizes. And so I had to put it out on Twitter, you know, like, is this common? Like, is this what Brian's Grill has become? A place that rents out rooms to our opposing fans? And I think the answer is simply yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brian, as in Brian's Grill, is all about that money, and he doesn't give an F about Mason. But maybe he does. I don't know. But either way.
He may care, but that man, money comes first, and I get it. You know, it's unfortunate to see. It's not as if any other bars are, like, loaded with Mason basketball fans. So, you know, you got to get your money where you can. But it was so packed that we could barely sit down. Servers are stepping on our shoes trying to get by.
Serving VCU fans.
Excuse me. Don't step on my shoes.
Right. But you know, that was a bit telling, you know. It kind of set the tone. And so, you know, here I am coming back to Fairfax. I know that the game is going to be a sellout or damn near a sellout. And, you know, this is the start of conference play. We're 11-2. I'm expecting Mason Nation to show up. And, you know, when I walk into the arena, people showed up, but it wasn't necessarily all of Mason Nation. It was a strong contingency of VCU fans that had taken over Eagle Bank Arena again. And, you know, really with player introductions or any time a basket was scored for either team, you didn't really know who had the home court, really. I mean, there were more VCU chants than there ever were Mason chants. I mean,
and there was definitely more Mason fans, but you could just tell that the pride, the energy that they bring, it just simply, you know, it just simply outweighs anything that we have, anything that we brought. It's tough. It happens all the time. You never want to hear VCU as you're walking out of the building. And again, it happened.
And the Mason fans left early. But let's actually go and touch on the court and why maybe the Mason fans weren't as energetic or even, you know, that involved in the game. So Mason lost 72-59. This is an age-old story that will just continuously happen until something changes. VCU continues to dominate us. And this game, while looking close, 72-59, yeah, okay, 13 points, but it was a blowout. Like, it never really felt like we had this one or we even were close. I mean, it came down to single digits in the second half briefly, but, you know, it was Santos Silva just murdering us on the inside and dominating our bigs. And so they just kind of scored at will, and when they needed a bucket, they got it. And again, no one on Mason's roster was ever getting close to getting hot. Like, we didn't have anybody just starting to stroke it from deep. We didn't have anybody just pounding, or like, we didn't take advantage of any like mismatches. There was nothing. It was just kind of we scored when we did, and no adjustments. It's just kind of the same story.
Offense is tough. You know, we do the same high ball screen almost every single time, a point of entry into our offense. And what VCU did really well is they just doubled the point guard. They doubled whoever was asking for the screen. And many times it left our players wide open. And it kind of shows that, you know, this is either VCU's defense, which I think it was a little bit different. They didn't really press us too hard. You know, they did kind of trap us around the half court line.
They turned the ball over more than we did. So
and they jump trapped us, and it just kind of showed that, like, we don't really have that sharp shooter that can force you out of a defense like that. Like, you swing the ball over to, you know, whoever, and if they're not pulling the trigger, then you retreat and you get back and you guard them straight up. I mean, we have no one that necessarily can just nail threes. And we've been sold guys now for a couple years. Oh, JDS is going to be that guy. Javon Green is going to be that guy. They're going to be able to hit threes. They're going to be able to spread the defense. And we, you know, well, where we may have faith in some of these guys, we need a 3-point shooter. And apparently one's coming next year, but we need one this second.
But we've also been hearing that time and time again. There's always one coming next year. And lo and behold, the next year happens, and then we're looking for the one the next year. And so, yeah, if you're not hitting it from the outside, you damn well better be exposing them on the inside. And we have yet to really, you know, in the entire first half of this season in the out-of-conference schedule, we haven't really gotten any of our big men going. AJ, who, you know, has been a bit of our X factor to start the year, was left with zippy points. Two rebounds, a block, like a nothing, essentially. Granted, he got into early foul trouble, but he only had three fouls. That third one came in the second half. So it's like, could DP have maybe utilized him a little bit more? You know,
well, also, do you just play him through his foul trouble? Yeah. Like, you rather have AJ on the court than not. He finishes the game with 0 points and three fouls. It's like, obviously, that was mismanaged.
Yeah.
I mean, play the guy. And maybe, yes, it is on AJ to, you know, not go for the chase down block, but that's his game. You can't ask him to not be himself because of foul issues, you know. And that's something I thought, and this is a complaint I've had about DP for a while. You know, Paulson didn't say, like, maybe I should have played him through his second foul and into his third in the first half. He said, you know, AJ getting into foul trouble really hurts us. Well, how about you identify what you did wrong or what you could do better? You know, it's not about it. We didn't lose because AJ got into foul trouble. You know what I'm saying? We didn't lose because Kyer turned the ball over.
Right.
You know, it's a collective issue here, and the game was never close. And Did we ever figure out their defense? The answer is no. And another thing DP said in the presser that tilted me was he just flat out said, oh, I don't think you ever want to play or you don't ever want to see VCU, because I believe someone asked him, you know, is playing VCU first game of A-10 conference tough? And it's like, that's your attitude? Right. You want to play VCU. You want to beat VCU. Welcome the challenge.
Here's another quote that kind of tilted me. He's like, as of today, they are a far better team than us. And, you know, hopefully over the course of the next few weeks, we could, you know, minimize that gap. It's like, there should be no gap. We are in the same conference. Like, let's go. They should, like, we're just instantly saying they're better than us. And
we're going to get better and they're not. And, so we're going to lessen that gap, but
no, erase the gap. Let's win and beat them. You know, instead it's like, you know, the last two games we've had versus VCU, last year being the, you know, senior night where Otis had 1 point and, you know, it was a massive blowout. And again, it's just, these games are ending with VCU chants and it feels demoralizing, and it cannot be, you know, super exciting to be a Mason player on the court hearing chants of VCU from your home court, and you've already built an 11-2 record and you're like, where are our fans? Like, where's the support? And it's just like, it's something that needs to be corrected. Again, they came out cold. There just seems to be a little bit of a lack of preparation, and you know, a lot of it felt like the start of the TCU game where they just started cold. There needs to be some type of energy. Get your guys prepared. I don't give a flying f*** about how good the practices were. Get our boys out there and draw up some plays, and if they're not working, make adjustments. God.
Yeah, we're not a team that's made a ton of adjustments in game. And when asked Paulson about it in the past, he'll say things like, well, we didn't prepare for that, so we're not going to throw something out mid-game. Well, it's time to start preparing for everything, because there's times in games where we need to make serious adjustments. And one here was getting the ball to the bigs on the roll. If you're going to have a pick and roll and you're going to have a guy that's the size of Hartwell and he can't get a shot up over a taller defender, he has to be willing to make that pass. And we're learning now that when AJ, because it's tough, a forward can't be the guy, right? Because they don't always have the ball in their hand. Mm-hmm. So which guard of ours is going to be a guy that can just kind of take over and handle scoring droughts? We thought it was Javon Green. It hasn't been. Hartwell has
regressed.
Become an average three-point shooter. And Kyer is settling for jumpers all game long. So I'm just wondering who's going to be that guy.
Here's your bright spot of the game. It's been kind of the bright spot all year, but XJ as a freshman has been delivering when, you know, he not to say that he's taking any game over thus far, but you know, when we've needed a crucial point or, you know, just to show signs of life, some effort, XJ is giving us that. And, you know, that's it's refreshing to see, but it's also somewhat sad to see that it's coming from a freshman. But also, Jordan Miller continues to be, you know, Mr. Calm, Cool, Collected. He can get points kind of inside, outside, so he's still, you know, a problem for opposing defenses. So those are the two lone bright spots. But, you know, again, throughout this out-of-conference schedule, you know, it's been kind of a few different guys every night, and collectively we've been able to squeak these out. Like, just nothing went right tonight or yesterday, and it just kind of exposed us as to, like, who we are. Like, what are we? What's our identity? And, you know, we're, you know, 14 games into the season, and I can't really say what we are. Like, truly, like, we're an okay defensive team. Like,
Xavier Johnson, shockingly, finished with the most minutes off the bench with 35 minutes. Kind of uncommon. I think that's a lot due to AJ, which is also kind of annoying because when AJ goes down, like, XJ comes in. Like, yeah. Gonar Mar is giving us nothing, but XJ.
He shot an air ball.
XJ did win KMN Law Firm Player of the Game. I guess it is debatable looking at Green and Miller's numbers, but you got to give it to the freshman. 5 of 7, 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Didn't take enough threes, in my opinion. But just like you could see, just on defense, the way he was locked in, you know, it did not look like VCU scared him.
No.
Looked like he was ready for the challenge. He was going right at him. He was playing good defense. I saw fear in some guys' eyes. I saw disappointment when they missed shots. It's like, Paulson, you identified that as an issue after the TCU game. Guys hanging their heads after misses and stuff. Clean it up.
It's a correction, yeah.
Right, like what?
And here's one last little point of emphasis, you know, and we're talking about how to get our big men involved, but there doesn't also seem to be any sort of trust in either one. It's like he kind of goes in with Kalix, he kind of goes in with Aduro, but he's not manufacturing many plays to go through them, and both are still kind of splitting time, and you alluded to this in the post game. You know, if they're going to be splitting time on the court, then foul Santos Silva. You know, use up all their, you know, fouls. And it's like, what are we doing? There has to be some strategy here. You know, if you're planning on dividing their minutes, you know, when you have two guys that you're cycling through, we really don't have one guy then. You know, it's kind of like that when you have two quarterbacks on a team, you don't have one. Like, that's kind of what we're dealing with right now at the five.
And combined, they didn't even play, like, more than, like, 32 minutes, basically.
Right.
You know, it's like, so... You got two guys, and neither one of them are getting more time together than your freshman point guard. It's like, what is going on? You know, why? What does Silva have to do in order for you to think, man, I need to put a body on him and bang around?
Right.
Because AJ wasn't that.
Out-rebounded 40-25, you know?
Silva scored 26 points in 27 minutes. He didn't even play like all game long.
And also, I want to talk about the 6-6 free throws, and I'm putting that on the fans. You know, and I shot a video on the other side of the court whenever Santos Silva was taking a free throw shot facing the student section, which was filled all the way up predominantly to the top, you know, and there was maybe a single row of people like jumping up and down. What happened to just everybody standing up and going bonkers? Like, make him miss his free throw. This guy's a 52% free throw shooter, and he went 6-6. It's like the guy shooting in the gym, like an empty gym.
They went 18-for-18. They didn't miss a free throw. And fans, that's on you.
It's so much on us. God.
How do they not miss a free throw? You're not winning games if the big men dominate, they own on the rebounds, and they don't miss free throws. And then also, we didn't even take free throws.
I know.
Like, it's not even like everything didn't go right, and still we were in the game a little bit. There is room for some optimism as far as we did play pretty good defense on them. I don't know if that's because Marcus Evans is just trash at this point, or
those ACLs look to be shot.
So I don't. Maybe we played good defense, or maybe just VCU isn't that good.
Right.
And some teams have defenders that can hang with Silva. I don't know. But let's move right along.
Well, one thing I think we have to just, and we may be combining segments here, but it's the VCU game sort of exposed us as green and fool's gold, which is our next topic here, but we've already kind of fleshed that out a little bit, but go on.
The green and fool's gold, is that a real thing?
Were we bought into the 11 wins?
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes. You know, Chris, you admitted to seeing if we got any votes, and you know, we're looking up we even like posted our RPI score. Like, we were grasping, I think, to have, you know, any life with 11 wins. And I think that fear was kind of in the back of our mind. If you look at our poll, which got 150 plus votes, people expected a blowout.
Yeah.
And with 11 wins and winning the Cayman Classic, you know, you shouldn't expect a blowout.
But, you know,
like maybe a loss, a close loss, but a blowout.
But all the analytics, the Ken Palms, the people that get really geeky with the numbers, they all knew what we're finding out now is, and it's just that we're not as great as that 11-1 starting record was. And so, you know, I think I sent in the group chat at one point, we were the worst 11-win team in the country. You know, in terms of, you know, all these different metrics. And so, you know, we had 11 wins, but the notion was we had the 325th strength of schedule. You know, we were beating nubs. And so now that we've faced three quality opponents, we've been blown out three times. And so we're not even close. I mean, And so this season feels a bit like fool's gold.
The TCU-VCU stretch we kind of circled it. You know, it was like, all right, we're probably going to get to 11 wins. And then what do we do? And we get there. You know, it's not as if TCU is some stud either, but right. You know, we were like, all right, we're going to play a Power 5 school. Then we're going to have VCU at home. That will be telling for who this team is. And so after that, you know, with the examples that we got of the last couple games, you can't be that optimistic. You can't. You know, everyone can say, move on to the Bonaventure, get a win, go 1-1 in the A-10, blah, blah, blah. We always thought we were going to finish 5th to 9th or some wide range. And so, you know, everyone kind of, it's okay. It's okay to lose to VCU.
But a lot of
it's not.
Yeah. A lot of those people that were giving that, you know, I always thought we were like, you know, between 6th and 9th place. It's like, yeah, but that was before the season even started. Like a lot of people thought Davidson would be a top 3 team in the A-10. We now have a 14-game sample size, and we can kind of say, okay, well, look, we're 11-1. You know, the expectations should sort of be a little bit higher at that point, and yet, you know, we are regressing. You know, and it's tough to watch, but you know, it we will have to see how we rebound from this game, and you know, where is this season going to go? Are we going to be another middle of the road? And then you just have to ask yourself, like, where is this whole thing going in general, if we're just going to finish somewhere between 6th and 9th place? People are satisfied with that? Like, it sucks when your hopes are so high at a certain point. Like, you kind of bought in after the 11-1 start. You're like, yeah, I had my doubts, but they're proving me wrong. And, you know, here we are.
And once you dive into the details of those wins,
right,
you know, you'll see that they're kind of sketch. You know, we, of course, we're a hype train, so we're going to, of course, get excited for every win and try to put out positive content while we can, because we've covered years of losing. Yeah, just junk. And so, you know, it's exciting. But, you know, once you start to, like, remember those games or go back and look into the analytics of those games, it's tough. So, Chris, final, let's wrap up, you know, these first two segments. VCU recap, we already dogged the game. Are we fool's gold?
At this point, you know, yes. I just don't think it means much to beat nobodies. I think, you know, your true test is, you know, can you beat the elite of your conference, of your schedule? Can you beat a big dog? And the answer is, right now, we haven't. We haven't even proved that we can come close to that. And it's like, we can hang our hat on a New Mexico State win out in the Cayman Islands. But at this point, I could go play a bunch of 12-year-olds on a basketball court and, you know, smoke them every single game. But if I play an adult and I get smoked, I'm a loser. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm fool's gold. Like, you have to eventually beat someone with some talent for me to buy in. And so, I what's the point? We packed an entire house to see this game, and it's another disappointing loss.
And this is the definition of fool's gold, posted by Patriot Since 81 on the Mason Hoops board. You know, if you look at Paulson and his record versus some of the premier talent in the A-10, it's not looking too good. VCU 2-8, St. Bonaventure 1-4, and our one win was last year before they really found their identity. Davidson 1-2, Rhode Island 1-2, Dayton 2-2. You know, haven't really dominated anyone but Richmond. And for a while there, Richmond was pretty trash, and they were putting up signs and on billboards wanting their coach fired. So, you know, you look at VCU and Dayton respectively, and let's just say Davidson, and you are 5-11. 5-11 versus, you know, the top three teams put in Rhode Island, and it's even worse, you know. So that's fool's gold to me. You know, everyone is excited from going to last in the A-10 to 5th.
Yeah, that was a huge leap.
But that's not good enough. And it's the Jay Gruden effect. It's going from last in the NFC East to 500. But is Dave Paulson that coach that's going to turn the corner? That's something that we're going to find out. That's something that he has to prove. And if he doesn't here in the next year and a half, his seat is hot, because as of right now, we are fool's gold. But Wednesday, 7:00, versus St. Bonaventure, a team that's underachieved so far this season, fully healthy. It's a game we almost, it's not a must win because nothing is a must win, but I mean, for the fan base, it's pretty close to a must
win. So, yeah, and you can say that they've underachieved, but they started this season 1-4. This is a team that's won 9 of 10, and their one loss was a close loss to Buffalo. So, you know, this is a team that, you know, could potentially set us back to 0-2 in the conference.
Both home right, games.
And that would be a very tough pill to swallow early on in the A-10. So, you know, it's clearly, I don't know, a hot take, whatever you want to label this. But, you know, I hate whenever people are like, this is a must-win game. But, you know, for the fan base, the players, the coach, we need this. This is a must-win because if you we're in the midst now of a 2-game losing streak. Do we really want to get on a 3-game losing streak and have to win 2 straight A-10 games just to break to 500? So, you know, if we really want to set ourselves above the middle of the pack, you know, it's going to start with St. Bonaventure. This is going to be a team that we're probably going to be battling for, you know, a potential, you know, 6-7 seed somewhere in there for the A-10 tournament. So this is going to be a big win or loss. This is just a big game in general that I think is a must win. So.
And what really scares me about this game is Kyle Lofton, a bigger guard. Bigger guards have given us trouble all season long, even on when we played opponents that are inferior. And, it, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, their bigger guards just kind of wear us out. They can end up posting up on the block off the UCLA screen. They can, you know, they can D up. You know, they're a little bit more physical. You know, what is Hartwell right now? You know, we got excited because he was hitting shots, but what is he when he's not hitting shots? Is he some defensive intensity guy? Is he a guy that never turns the ball over? Is he making the right pass? You know, that's what we have to find out playing some of these bigger guards like Kyle Lofton and Goodmanson and guys and even a Marcus Evans. You know, we can say he sucks, but guy still had 6 assists, played a bunch, and D'd up all of our guards. So, you know, I wonder, you know, how do we stop guys like Kyle Lofton? We'll find out Wednesday if that's something that we can do. But say the Bonnies are coming in, like you're saying, pretty red hot, you know, and I do wonder, do we have the guys to compete with their sophomores, which is scary.
Do we have the firepower? And we're going to need to generate offense somewhere. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But it's weird that we're asking that question, you know, 14 games into the season. Where are we going to get the firepower from? We should definitively know that. I mean, it's you know, going to be Jordan Miller and who else, you know, at this point. It could be XJ. It could be Green. But everyone's kind of had their turn supplying points, but we need a little bit more consistency here. And again, just kind of looking at the A-10 standings, you know, maybe we segue into A-10 lit or bit, but you know, we're going to be jockeying for position with St. Bonaventure, and you know, maybe LaSalle, even who started 10-4 and 1-1 in the A-10. Rhode Island's going to be right there next to us. Davidson's underachieving, but they're going to be suddenly like we're battling them for who knows what type of seed. So, you know, it could very easily turn into, you know, a problem if we're only better than UMass, Fordham, and St. Joe's and GW. You know, it's like, can we definitively say that we're far better than all the rest of the teams that I just didn't name? I can't say that yet. So we have to prove it. And, you know, Bonaventure is going to be a fantastic test for a team that's not really elite, but they're sort of right there on our level. So,
A-10 lit or bit. So before we got into conference play, maybe like a month ago, the A-10 was beating up on some schools, getting some quality wins. VCU beat LSU.
Richmond beat Wisconsin. Dayton competed with Tech, and they almost beat Kansas. Yeah.
So I mean, we got all really excited, you know, are we a 4-5 bid league? And then, you know, we kind of closed out of conference play kind of slow, limped into conference play. And now it has me wondering, is the A-10 lit or is it a bit? And what I mean by that is the A-10 back or is it just like a bit that we get caught up and thinking that, you know, we're the shit and really we're not. You know, VCU, preseason top 25 team. Now KenPom 40th. You know, so that's a kind of a big drop off. And there's not going to be a ton of quality wins in A-10 or quality opportunities in A-10 play. So, you know, what is the A-10? I'm looking at a game right now, tomorrow, or actually Wednesday, whatever. Rhode Island versus Davidson. Yeah. And, you know, what's intriguing about this is both teams starting 0-1 in the conference. Which one of those teams starts 0-2? I mean, Davidson's now 6-7. Right. You know, no one would have predicted that. You have the former player of the conference plus a guy who's been looked at on draft boards. Right. And then Rhode Island is just depleted with guys leaving the program, injuries. I just don't know if they have the firepower to
compete
themselves.
But they're both good teams. And so it's, yes, they've underachieved, but, and obviously they've had their struggles this year. But, you know, again, if this came down to, you know, are both of these teams better than Mason right now? Like if they're to play on a neutral court, they'd both probably be favored, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
and that's weird with our 11-3, you know, record, but that's sort of why our last segment was fool's gold. Like, you know, our 11-3 may be just the same as Davidson's 6-7. And so, yeah, we haven't had the quality opponents, but, you know, that Rhode Island-Davidson game is going to put one of those teams at 0-2, and they're going to be hungry. And, you know, that's going to be the A-10. But for me, I think that the conference itself, you got Dayton at the top. And Dayton struggled with St. Joe's yesterday, so it's like they're tied at halftime. But either way, Dayton is a clear-cut elite. And then you have, you know, the VCUs and both VCU and Richmond are very good teams. Duquesne is surprising a lot of teams. They started the season, you know, undefeated. And then they've had, like, a few solid wins as of late, starting 2-0 in the conference. So you kind of have a cream of the crop right there with those four teams, and then you kind of hit like a, you know, a middle of the pack type of tier with sort of Bonaventure. St. Louis took a bad L, you know, Rhode Island, I would throw in there, Davidson, Mason, you know, and so
St. Louis actually won, but it was an overtime game versus UMass, which is, you know, you're expecting St. Louis to kind of dominate that game. You know, but Mitchell is a monster.
St. Louis was also blown out by Duquesne, you know?
So they're 1-1.
It's okay. I don't know. Like, is Duquesne, like, really tight if they blew out St. Louis? Like, I don't know. I think we're going to need some more, like, games here to sort of decipher who's, like, really elite.
And that's why St. Bonaventure versus Mason matchup right now is so important, and especially at home for Mason. You almost have to win that. We're now talking about the third tier, like us being a part of that third tier. And for whatever reason, people are having all this fun tiering off the teams in the A-10. I'm kind of enjoying it. But you kind of have Dayton as your cream of your crop, VCU, Richmond, maybe second tier. And then after that, it just kind of trickles. Yeah, Duquesne's got to be up there. But we're fighting to, like, remain in the third tier of the A-10, and that's why a matchup versus the Bonnies is so big. But is the A-10 lit or bit? Lit or a bit? How should we say it? Is the A-10 lit or a bit? We don't know yet, and I think we got a lot of games coming up on Wednesday that are going to help us determine. We did something fun. We did a GK end of the decade poll. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the results. And then we got not a ton of participation, but over 25 people participated. And I want to talk about the top five. You know, we did a top, like, we pretty much put together a whole roster of fan votes of the entire decade. I just want to talk about who we identified as the starting five, the people with the most votes. So I'm going to run through that real quick, starting at the point guard position. Cam Long, that's a By George favorite.
I mean, one of the best players in my entire tenure of fandom. I love Cam Long. He was a part of a winning culture, went to the tournament. Wonderful pick. Go on.
second best player that we've seen, Marquise Fantastic. Moore. We were there live for his triple double at the Palestra. Was about as magical as we'll get of a memory in the Dave Paulson
era. No better
era.
Player, in my opinion, grew throughout their tenure, the 4 years, than Marquise Moore. So just.
And Sherrod Wright, we could almost say the opposite for. Baller his first couple years. Thought we were going to have an absolute stud. Never put it together. Some people blame Hewitt. But still,
elite talent.
You know, gave us
he
the
was elite talent.
Gave us the Valentine's Day miracle. And then, you know, also was a very good scorer Certainly. For us. So your guard play, Cam Long, Marquise Moore, Sherrod Wright. Can't really dispute that. But at forward, Marko Gujanović won. So that made me
Bit
think
of a head
like
scratcher.
Do we just not have like a lot of great forwards? So then, you know, you look down
the
list.
Well, I'm just sorry. If Marko Gujanović is gonna define our decade as an all-decade team, you know, that must have been some sort of like prank, right?
I mean, Johnny Allridge got more votes than Mike Moe and Jalen Jenkins, and it's just like what? That must have been like. That must have been like fans that were around during the Jonathan Allridge era. But Marko is your starting power forward.
Neat.
The one that, you know, the MVP, the one that got the most votes, Ryan Pearson. You know, the nostalgia is there.
CA
you know,
player of the year.
A guy we wish that we could have his grit right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we would be begging for any one of Cram, quite honestly, you know, steal someone's credit card.
I don't care. Just
punch someone in the mouth. Like, you know, Mike Moe almost got teed up every single game. So I don't know how Mike Moe wasn't voted up in there over Marko, but that's your starting five of the decade, voted on by Giant Killer fans. One more time, that's Cam Long, Marquise Moore, Sherrod Wright, Marko Gujanović, and Ryan Pearson. My question to you, Jones, is can that starting five beat our starting five in a pickup game at the rack right now?
Like with their current age, or are we taking them in their prime?
In their prime.
Oh, my God. Ultimate. No. No, I mean, that all-decade team is annihilating our current roster. And no offense. I mean, I love our guys. I mean, I couldn't even really tell you who that starting five would even be, you know? It's like, is Oduro starting? Like, are we really going to throw out, like, Hartwell starting? Is Kyer going to start? Like,
if Marko gets, if, like, Marko or Pearson gets hot, because you think you want, you know, Pearson with his back to the basket, Marko at the top of the key. If he gets hot from hitting three, which he could do, that team is running away with it because no one's guarding Pearson on the bucket. Who's stopping Cam Long
or
Sherrod Wright from hitting their jumpers?
Let's just go back to Pearson. Pearson would be doing his crazy spin moves, finishing with his left hand, and there'd be no answer to that. Like, if you thought Santos Silva was silly yesterday, I mean, Ryan Pearson in his prime is just taking you to town. He easily in that, you know, in this fake game would probably put up like a 20-8. You know, like he could definitely get some rebounds too. Played a little bit bigger than his 6'6", 6'7" frame. So, yeah.
My guess is he's giving our whole squad buckets right now at his current age.
And like, also, Pearson developed that like 3-point shot towards the end, like his senior year. Like he was starting to drain some threes. So, like, you know, who knows? And then Marko was a great facilitator. I mean, that was probably one of his best aspects. He had a great IQ. He could pass the ball. He could do a little bit of inside outside. He was 6'9", you know, solid teammate. And then, I mean, when you get to the guards, I mean, it's just, I mean, Marquise Moore would be out rebounding Oduro and Kalix. I mean, it's a crazy lineup.
Yeah, you'd think, I mean, you know, some of those guys were recruited into the CAA.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, so actually all of them. So, you know, you'd think maybe our current roster would have a chance, but I don't think we do. I don't think that speaks to the team where we are taking guys spread over a decade and playing them against our current roster. But I think it's a cool case study. I am kind of curious about these kind of end of decade bits. Isn't the end of the decade in 2021? Or am I not right there? Like, isn't
we just work
the last...
with the, you know, whenever, yeah, when the new number comes up. So we're done with the teens and the ones. So, yeah, the moment you turn to 20, it's start of a new decade.
Okay. All right. I can.
I mean,
that.
Unless you're like looking at some Incan calendar, the Mayans, or whatever bullshit.
Oh man, this has been a fun podcast. You know, we're trying to.
We've been talking about depressing shit all podcast long. Like,
it's tough, you know. And if you guys have been BGs from the start, you know that in the past we have just straight ripped the team before. We've had funerals for for Paulson early on. And we've bought in too. You know, sometimes hating gets old, but we have a lot more fun hating. You know, this podcast, we're just been kind of talking about, you know, the sadness that we feel after another home loss. Actually, Paulson's eighth loss to VCU at this point. So it's just kind of general sadness. But if this continues, we got to switch this up, because the By George podcast isn't all doom and gloom, and if it is, then we're going to start cracking the jokes and maybe even calling for a new coach. I don't know. You got to stay tuned. Listen to future episodes of By George. Also putting out Hey 10 episodes. Ooh. Ryan and Dom cast. Jonesy, why don't you leave us on one last piece for our fans to be optimistic about?
You're going to have to give me a week to prepare for that, because I don't really have much. But okay, optimism-wise, the black uniforms were pretty cool like a few weeks ago.
And that's it. This is the By George podcast, guys. Thank you for listening. The black uniforms are lit, and we will see you next time.
Woo! Woo. All I can think about you, prepare to leave my body when the time it comes through. Hate to break bread. Think about the way that you will feel if deficit. Joke's on you, well, it's time to come through. Well, if she had to choose me or her mom, I know I wouldn't last long. Yeah, no problem with the truth. But when she made me laugh, doom, doom, back to my tomb. My love is not hard to be in a place where life is easy. Like, what the fuck is real? What the fuck is wrong? I think I can fit with your tone. Like, all I can think about you. Joke's on you, well, it's time to come through. Time to come through. Time to come through. Time to come through. You know I wanna be everything that you need. Starting to see, you know I wanna be above everything, but I'm just not there yet.